Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Happy Monday. This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor, with another episode of Hardwood Handicappers. Hardwood Handicappers is sponsored by Better Picks, the fantasy app that turns your basketball takes into cash. Download the Better app and use code VSINPOD, VSINPOD, to get $10 free, no deposit needed. That link is also in the bio if you are watching on YouTube. I wanted to do this show a little bit different. We just came off a big weekend of basketball. It is Monday. I'm recording this at 10:30 a.m. Eastern, November 17th. And I wanted to just kind of get into some of the big picture takeaways from what I saw over the weekend. I mean, Saturday, I don't think it was as eventful as Sunday. I did watch the Grizzlies-Cavaliers game. Memphis had a big lead in that game for most of it. They ended up blowing the lead, but I do think that things looked overall much better with Zach Edey in there. I think on both ends of the floor, like everything that the Grizzlies kind of run with Edey just makes a lot more sense and just looks a lot better. So I am intrigued by what Memphis is going to look like over the next couple of weeks. I'm hoping it's not too little too late as someone that took over 39 and a half wins. Maybe it is, but they are going to get Ty Jerome and Scottie Pippen Jr. back at some point in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, maybe they'll start buzzing a little bit once those guys return. But the big result on Saturday to me was Denver thumping Minnesota in Minnesota. I think that the Timberwolves, you know, they're 8-5 right now. That doesn't look bad. I mean, it's actually quite good when you're just talking about record overall, but they have zero wins against teams that are above 500. And I think that defensively, they look a little bit unorganized. I think that offensively, they're desperately in need of a playmaker at the point guard position. And I'm just starting to think that Minnesota falls way below that top tier that includes, you know, Denver, Houston, Oklahoma City, and, you know, maybe on par with some of the other teams that are kind of in the middle of that, you know, Western Conference tier right now, which is a shame after, you know, the Timberwolves have made back-to-back Western Conference finals. I think that they still have a lot of talent there. Anthony Edwards, as long as he's there, is going to be, you know, part of very good teams, but they need to do something at the deadline, or they need to find a way to get Dillingham and Shannon, you know, up to speed and more comfortable. If they can't do that, it's going to be very difficult for them to kind of turn back into a contender. And there really aren't that many deals out there at the deadline just because they have given away so many of their trade assets. But Sunday was what was really exciting to me and why I kind of wanted to do this. There was just so much to take away, you know, in terms of awards markets, in terms of futures. So I'll start with, you know, Keontae George hit a game winner in a game where Utah won 150 to 147 against Chicago. And, you know, the most improved player market has been one that I've been interested in since the start of the season. Josh Giddey's currently the betting favorite at plus 340, has been absolutely incredible for the Bulls this year. But with Coby White coming back, I kind of wonder if we're going to see Giddey's numbers start to take a hit. And that kind of leads me to thinking that there is some value a little bit further down the board. And Keontae George is a player that I do think that there's still some, you know, juice left to be squeezed. He's out there at 35-1 to win most improved player. He's averaging 22.2 points per game, 7 assists per game. And his true shooting percentage is up from 53.9% last year to 56.7% this year. I think that he has looked absolutely incredible as a shot maker, you know, from the perimeter, driving to the basket as a playmaker. He has looked much improved. Utah looks much better than it did last season. And a lot of that has to do with George's ability to kind of handle the responsibilities of a primary on-ball ball handler in this league, which is something I don't think he was ready for in his first 2 years in the league. And sure, there's going to be a lot of Isaiah Collier mixed in. Collier is a walking assist, one of the best passers in the league right now, in my opinion. But I think that George is going to continue to put up huge numbers for a Jazz team that I think is going to fly over that regular season win total of 18.5, which now looks very, very low, as long as, you know, Larry Markkanen stays healthy. But I do think that it's going to be worth monitoring George moving forward, and I think maybe worth a sprinkle at that 35-1 price. And then Jaden McDaniels, 100-1 at DraftKings right now. I know I just beat up on Minnesota a little bit, but McDaniels is averaging a career-high 17.7 points per game this season, shooting career best 54.9% from the field and 50% from three. Still one of the best defenders on the planet when you're talking about wing defenders. And in my opinion, now the heartbeat of this Timberwolves defense, now that Rudy Gobert looks like he's lost a step or two. I just think that McDaniels, like, everything is starting to slow down for him offensively. Like, he is much more of a threat off the dribble. The jumper looks way better. He's way more confident taking them. There's zero hesitation with him letting threes fly anymore. And that's absolutely huge for Minnesota as they try to right the ship offensively. And then I do think that, yeah, just everything that he's done off the dribble, what he's able to do going to the basket, it all just looks a lot crisper. And I just kind of wonder if he averages 18 plus points per game this year while continuing to be one of the best defenders in basketball. That feels like a most improved player worthy candidacy for me, just because he is jumping up, you know, from being like a 12 point per game guy. Like, I know that these leaps tend to be guys going from 10 to 20 or 25 points per game. But when you're adding in what he does on the defensive end of the floor, I kind of think he's worthy of some consideration. And then in another awards market, this is a different one. Rookie of the Year. I watched a lot of that Mavericks Trailblazers game last night. Cooper Flagg ended that game with 21 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal in an overtime victory. No 18-year-old in NBA history, including LeBron James, has matched those numbers in a single game. I think that we have seen a lot of big, big performances from Con Knipple and VJ Edgecombe this year. Knipple being probably the one that, like, really has a shot at winning Rookie of the Year. But it just kind of feels like this is looking like Flagg's award if he's able to stay healthy. I know that that's really boring. I'm somebody that invested in Ace Bailey and Derek Queen a little bit myself, and I really like this award market. So I'm always hoping that there are, you know, sprinkles to make elsewhere, you know, when you look further down. But Flagg is now minus 135 at DraftKings. Watching the games, he just kind of looks the part of an all-star, like a guy that's going to be an all-star maybe next year. I mean, he's big, he's poised, he can score at all three levels. The defense is good. He's handling a massive responsibility for Dallas. I think that, you know, the fans are now a little bit more positive in that arena, just kind of adding a little bit to Flagg's, I don't know, aura. I don't like to use that word. And I know that the Nico Harrison stuff can be a little bit overplayed, but the vibes are a little bit better in Dallas. And I just kind of think we're going to see Flagg run away with this now that he has the kind of runway to make this his franchise. And yeah, it might be worth taking at minus 135 too, but even if it's not, I think that the real takeaway for me is that it's time to stop betting on everybody else there. I just think it's going to be Flagg's. And then another two teams that I wanted to kind of shine some light on, the Houston Rockets and the Atlanta Hawks. I think that Houston is right there with Denver and Oklahoma City. I think that that's what we expected out of this team. I spoke about this towards the end of last week when they acquired Kevin Durant and we thought that they were still going to have Fred VanVleet. We said it was going to be the Rockets in that tier with the Nuggets and Thunder. Seeing them kind of break that Orlando defense, which has been back over the last couple of weeks, you know, over the last 2 weeks, they have had, you know, the same defensive rating that they've had over the last 2 years when they were a top five defense. And towards the end of that Rockets Magic game, I thought Houston was getting whatever it wanted, whether the shots were falling or not. You know, there was the Kevin Durant stuff off the dribble, just kind of getting to his spots and hitting his shots. I mean, he was unbelievable late in that game. The kind of walk down threes that we've seen from him throughout his career, hitting one of those in Houston felt like his big arrival in H-Town. And then Alperen Şengün just continues to be a force, you know, either scoring in the post or making plays for his teammates. And now he has the three ball. And then you have Amen Thompson as just like an elite cutter with that, you know, outrageous athleticism. Like, the way that he's able to finish as a wing and not a true big is just outrageous to me. And then just like the X factor to me, which was very much on display last night, was the kind of X's and O's acumen of Ime Udoka. Like, some of the ATO stuff that they ran late in that game to just set up good shots, whether it was the one where they turned the ball over late, like they had Amen Thompson wide open on a cut that would have tied the game, actually would have won the game late in that one. And then the one to tie the game where he kind of got Şengün isolated for a low post hook to tie it and send it to overtime. Like, it's just an insane mix of talent, and Reed Shepard continues to get better. And then the I think maybe the best coach in the league in Udoka, I think at plus 850 to win the West and 14 to 1 to win the NBA title, Houston's a buy for me. Like, I think this is only going to get better. The more healthy bodies they get. We haven't even seen Dorian Finney-Smith. And like I said, Shepard's going to continue to get better, but he is already looking awesome as their kind of instant offense guy off the bench. And if they do eventually throw him into the starting five, even better, because I think that they need his floor spacing. I think he provides a lot of what Fred VanVleet can provide. And I just think that this team still has what it takes, even without VanVleet now, because Shepard and Thompson are doing such a good job at the one, and everybody else has gotten so much better. And then I mentioned the Hawks. Like, I was a little hesitant at first because the offense hasn't looked as good as I think that you'd want it to when you're talking about like a Eastern Conference contender. And maybe they're not that. But with the win over Phoenix last night, a Suns team that has been very good on both ends of the floor this year, they're now 7-2 without Trae Young this season, second in defensive rating when he doesn't play, top 10 in the league in offensive rating when he doesn't play. I don't know what to make of this other than the fact that it's starting to get very uncomfortable with Trae Young there. Young wants an extension. I don't think the Hawks want to give him a max contract. I mean, they definitely don't want to give him a max contract. Otherwise, it'd be done. I wonder if we're going to see Trae Young moved at the trade deadline. It's going to be very difficult for them to find a way to do it. But Atlanta looks the part of a borderline contender in the East without him. That means if you can get some pieces for him or find his replacement somehow, if that's not Nikhil Alexander-Walker already, like, you're talking about a team that might be just as good without him as they are with him, and you're adding pieces if you do make a move. It's getting very interesting in Atlanta. Before we start moving into some of tonight's picks, I just wanted to say attention to any listeners who are new to VSiN. Signing up for our free daily newsletter is a great way to catch up. Delivered straight to your inbox every morning, VSiN's newsletter offers picks, data, and strategies for the day's betting menu. Sign up free now at vsin.com/newsletter and start receiving your free newsletters tomorrow morning. That's vsin.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSiN. For tonight, for the Monday night slate, I'm not going to get into every single game tonight. There are some very lopsided spreads, and I'll just say right now, I'm going to skip Mavericks, Timberwolves, and Bulls Nuggets. Those are huge, huge spreads, and I don't have anything for them. Maybe that'll change when you see my best bets and player props go up at VSiN.com, and maybe I'll throw something late on the Pro Picks page. So I would say to always monitor that. Those picks are always available to VSiN Pro subscribers, but I'm staying away from those giant, giant spreads and in games that I'm really not that interested in. So I'll start with one that I am interested in. Bucks at Cavaliers, 7 p.m. Eastern. This is a game where the Cavaliers are laying 7.5. Total's 235.5. Darius Garland and Jalen Tyson are out for Cleveland. I don't have a side or a total in this game, but I do have two player props. For Cleveland, those two injuries to me mean another buy spot for Sam Merrill. So I'm going over 11.5 points at plus 100. Merrill's averaging 13.4 points per game this year. He's had 12 plus points in three of the last four and eight of the 11 games that he has played this season. This is a solid three-point defense for Milwaukee, not something special. I think that we're going to see Merrill get some good looks from deep, but I just think that overall, when his point total is this low, given the production we've seen this season, when Garland and Tyson are out, there's going to be opportunities for him. I think we got to go 12-plus points again. I just can't see him failing to reach that mark, and even if he does, I think he'll do it on really strong volume, and those are the types of bets that I'm willing to lose any day of the week. And then in this same game, I'm going with another player prop I don't normally go to in the same game, but I'm going to do it tonight. AJ Green, over 2.5 made three, something I've gone to a lot already this season. That's plus 128 again. I'm shocked to see it at plus money odds. I'm shocked to see it at this favorable of a payout. Green just made five threes last game, busting out of a four-game and five-game slump in which he had failed to reach the three mark for three-pointers made. He's making 3.0 made threes per game this season. He's made at least three in 10 of the 14 games that he has played. And I just think that this matchup is unbelievable for him. The Cavaliers are 29th in the league in guarding spot up jumpers this year, 28th in guarding corner threes. Like, these are places that Green beats teams. Like, that is primarily where he does his work. Corner threes, like, that's what the Bucks want to set up for Green. So I feel like this matchup plays right into his hands. We just have to hope that he avoids foul trouble. I mean, Green is feistier on the ball than you'd want him to be for a player that is a role-playing spot-up shooter. Gets himself into foul trouble pretty often, more often than you'd like. And we just have to hope that he doesn't do it tonight, especially if he's going to be matched up, you know, on Donovan Mitchell a little bit. But I do like those two player props in this game. And then moving forward, I have a parlay that couples together Pacers Pistons at 7 p.m. Eastern. and then Hornets at Raptors at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to take the chalk in these games, and I'm going to parlay the Pistons to beat the Pacers and the Raptors to beat the Hornets. For the first of those two games, the one in Detroit, we might see Benedict Mathurin for Indiana. That would be a huge help for the Pacers offensively. And Cade Cunningham and Ausar Thompson are both questionable for Detroit. Never like to see that. But the Pistons are third in the league in defensive rating. I really trust this defensive infrastructure this season, and I think they're going to do a decent job of defending the Pacers tonight. And then offensively, like, even if there are some bodies missing for Detroit, I just trust this offense. I mean, it's only top 15 in the league, nothing special. But Indiana's 26th in the league in defensive rating. Mathurin's not going to help them there. If anything, he might hurt them. I just don't think I see the Pistons losing to a bad defensive team at home. I mean, Detroit is 36-10 straight up under J.B. Bickerstaff when playing teams with losing records, 7-0 straight up as home favorites of 6.5 to 12 points. Like, these are not the types of games that this team can lose very often. I mean, they just don't really do it. And then in the second game, Hornets on the road, I just don't trust them whatsoever. Like, their only road win this year came in Washington against what might be the worst team in basketball. Toronto's won 7 of 8 coming into this one, up to 7th in the league in net rating now. And Charlotte's just 4-33 straight up since the start of last season when facing teams with winning records, 2-23 straight up when facing teams that outscore opponents by 3+ points. I've seen some positive overall signs from this Hornets team. Like I said before, Knipple's been great. LaMelo's healthy now. Like, everything looks pretty good in terms of, like, the shot profile, you know, development of everybody. I think all of it looks nice, but I do think this is a big jump in competition and not a game you can count on them to win. So that's a parlay for me. Like I said, Pistons and Raptors, that's available at minus 145. That's going to be the best price you can find on it, but I think it's worth that juice. Next game for me, Clippers at 76ers. This is another game at 7 p.m. Eastern. I don't have a side or a total here. I am interested in seeing what happens to Paul George tonight. It looks like he is going to be back, as he is questionable for this one. And I think it's going to take him a few weeks to get up to speed. But with Kelly Oubre Jr. out, he's going to be thrown into the fire. And we're going to see what he looks like next to this dynamic backcourt. But the only play that I have in this game is Bogdan Bogdanović over 11.5 points at minus 103. Bogdanović seems like he's the guy really benefiting from Bradley Beal being out for the season. He has played 28+ minutes in 4 of the last 5 games. He's only scored 12+ points in 2 of the last 5, but I absolutely love this matchup for him. I just think that you look at a 76ers team that's very weak at defending above the break threes. That's where 56% of Bogdanović's points come from. This team is also very weak at defending mid-range jumpers, and Bogdanović is not a player that is shy about stepping in and taking contested twos. And if he's able to hit them, good for him. That'd be great. And this is another team that just the Sixers have been very weak against PNR ball handlers this year. And while that's more James Harden's domain, Bogdanović will get some shots to run them. It might be when Harden's on the bench. It might be secondary or third, you know, tertiary stuff when Harden's just, you know, not running the offense. But we're going to see a few opportunities for Bogdanović in this game. And I think the 12+ points is well within reason. Then we'll move on to Knicks Heat, a rematch of a game we saw in cup action on Friday. The Knicks won that game last week in New York, but they lost OG Anunoby in the process. They are now without Anunoby and Brunson, kind of evening out the playing field with the Heat being without Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero. And I think that this is a spot in which Miami bounces back. I mean, I think that New York only won that game last Friday because they got 36 points from Landry Shamet. Just a complete, like, outlier performance from a player that really doesn't often score more than 10. And I would be shocked if it happens again. Also, comparing the resumes of these teams, Heat are 5-1 with a plus 5.8 net rating at home. Knicks 0-3 with a minus 8.5 net rating on the road. I think Miami playing in Florida should be able to bounce back in a spot where I also just trust Eric Spoelstra to look at the tape and kind of figure things out. So minus 120 on the Heat seems like a really good price for me. I'm going to be jumping all over that. Last game I wanted to talk about, no plays here for me. It's Thunder at Pelicans, 8 p.m. Eastern. only mentioning this because I'm avoiding Derek Queen's assist props tonight, but it's something that I'm going to be taking with regularity over the next couple of weeks if they continue to price it the way that they've been pricing it. Like, I've been jumping all over Queen at over 3.5 assists, sometimes over 2.5 assists. Last night I won on him to have 4+. Also put a little play on him to have 5+. I'm just so impressed with the way that he passes the ball. And I know we saw a lot of it at Maryland. I just don't know that I saw him kind of getting this big of a role early on. It helps that they have some guards missing. But tonight is not the game to go to it against a Thunder team that is absolutely just it's impenetrable. Teams have just been giving up at times against this team because the Thunder are so good at stopping cutters, you know, keeping their active hands, being physical. Like, I would just be shocked if Queen's able to spot out open shooters or just open cutters throughout this game. But I am just very interested in seeing what Queen looks like over the next couple of weeks, because James Borrego, more than Willie Green, who was just fired, is an offensive-minded coach who's going to be able to find even more ways to unlock Queen, especially as he tries to kind of pick up the pace with this New Orleans team. It's something that he's talked a lot about. I think we're going to see a lot of grab-and-go stuff from Queen, just kind of bringing the ball up off of rebounds and initiating the offense. And there's going to be some easy, quick hit-aheads for him, but then also the stuff that he's able to do in the half court. So if you're wondering why there's no Queen play for me tonight, I feel like you might be, because I've had it like every night over the last 2 weeks. It's because they're playing the Thunder. Before we recap the best bets for tonight, let's just shout out Better again. If you think you know hoops, now's the time to prove it with Better Picks, the fantasy app that turns your basketball predictions into real cash. Download the Better app and make your picks more or less on your favorite players' points, rebounds, and assists. However you see the game playing out, track your lineup live, watch the numbers move, and sweat every possession right there in the app. And right now, Better is making it easy to get started. Use code VSINPOD, VSINPOD, and get $10 free, no deposit required. Just sign up, make your picks, and you're right in the action. Better Picks is live in 33 states, including California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. So download Better, that's BETR, and use code VSINPOD to score your free $10. Better Picks, basketball just got better. Must be 18+ in ineligible states. Terms and conditions apply. That link is in the bio. So running through the picks that I made for tonight, it's a few of them, 5 picks for me, and then you're going to see a few more, I'm sure, on VSiN.com, so make sure you head over there. AJ Green, over 2.5 made threes at plus 128. Sam Merrill, over 11.5 points at plus 100. I have the Pistons and Hornets, Pistons and Raptors in a money line parlay at minus 145. Bogdan Bogdanovic, over 11.5 points at minus 103. And then Heat money line at minus 120. So it's those 5 plays for me. Like I said, more at vsin.com. There always is. And there's all of our football stuff, all of the Opta AI player prop projections for both the NFL and NBA. It's a great time to be a VSIN Pro subscriber. Make sure you come back and check us out for some more Hardwood Handicappers tomorrow. And let's get some winners tonight.